morning. Welcome in. It's WEEI Football Sunday. Christian Arkin here. Mego, Shime Time, you at 617-779-7937. By the way, join the Cars for Kids 30th anniversary celebration. They're giving away one kid's ride on a car every day for a year. To enter, send a video of your child singing their jingle at carsforkids.org/30. Hello, Mega. Hello, Shine.
What up?
How are we doing today? Did you guys enjoy your bye? We didn't really have a bye week. We were all in here last week. There was no bye week for us. There was for the Patriots, though, as they prepare for a 4 o'clock game. The only game that we're actually going to be able to see kickoff of, as you mentioned, Shine.
So dumb.
That is nice today.
What a scheduling nightmare. How have we not flexed out Packers-Seahawks from Sunday Night Football for either Lions-Bills or Steelers-Eagles? Like, how has one of those games not gone to the night?
It makes
no sense to me.
It's a great question. It would be nice to be able to watch any of those games, although we are here to talk about the Patriots and the Arizona Cardinals, which we'll have a lot of takes on that, as well as the emotional roller coaster, which is coming up here in just about 20 minutes. We will also speak with Fitzy this hour and get his take on the matchup here between the Patriots and the Cardinals after a bye week. I got to tell you, hearing that from Alex Van Pelt, what we just heard there, talking about the conservative play calling. The idea that they may open it up this week, that this is the week that they really let Drake May just chuck it all over the yard, and the fact that it was a late bye week this year in a season that's going nowhere, I have a bad feeling about today.
It's going to be like a disaster.
I have a feeling that this team may disengage. You know, like I have a feeling that there is a lot of guys on this team that maybe got a little taste of vacation and thought, you know, we only got a couple of weeks left. Let's just play out the string. Meanwhile, Arizona on the fringe of the playoffs, they don't have a lot to play for, but they still have something. They still are alive. And I think that if this is the type of game where May goes out there and just chucking it wherever he wants, it could be good. Or it could be ass-kicking, and I think that's the reason why the line's so big today. It's a 6.5-point line, which for the Cardinals is humongous, and I think that's not a coincidence. I think they know something out there in Vegas, and I have a bad feeling about this game. It seems like you guys are both looking at me like I'm crazy.
Yes.
I don't think you're crazy. This is the way that I could see it in your favor, though, in it being a total disaster, is that you have Arizona, who's very fringy. If they win this game, I believe they have a 10% chance of making the playoffs. If they lose it, that drops down to 2%. So that's where they're living on the fringe. As you said, they still do have something to play for.
Right.
The Patriots coming back from a bye week, what they have to play for is essentially proving that they're professionals. And that just doesn't really, like, light a fire in the same way. So I could see it spinning out of control because the Cardinals are coming in with desperation and you're coming in thinking about the end of the year, I guess, and the holidays coming up and the bye week that you just had.
And Travis Hunter and Patriots Blue, that's what I'm thinking.
But I don't really see how that relates to the idea of opening it up for Drake May, because I do think that this is the right week to do it. When you're looking at the Cardinals' defense, which is kind of similar to what they saw against the Colts, and you saw how Drake performed against the Colts, I think it's kind of an opportunity and also maybe a course correction for Alex Van Pelt in the conservative approach he had against Indianapolis to show, okay, like, we will open it up. We'll see what they can do. They're the 19th passing defense in Arizona. I think they're the 20th overall or in the ground game. And
so
I think
they're around middle of the pack.
There's going to be a lot of opportunity for the offense. And that's one thing I'm looking forward to. I think it's going to be an offensive game on both sides.
Yeah. I don't think the lack of aggression is necessarily directly from Alex Van Pelt. I believe a lot of that's due to Jerod Mayo's point of view on these football games. And so I don't necessarily think that anything's going to open up. Nothing's going to change. In my opinion, the offense is going to look exactly the same way it's looked for 3 weeks now. I don't have confidence that anything will be opened up at all. As much as I may want them to. And I do think this is a winnable game. Jelani Tavai even said on, like, the Greg Hill show, I don't think it was Disappearance, but the last one, like, we're at a point in time where guys are playing for jobs at this point. So even, you know, even the guys on this team who have really nothing to play for have contracts to play for, a lot of them. Whether it's here or elsewhere, have money to play for. And for me, that's one of the biggest drivers in the entire NFL is money. And so I think these guys will still come out and perform. And I don't think Jerod Mayo has totally lost these guys either. So I do think that there's some spirit in the locker room to come out and actually fight.
I don't think he's lost them at all. I think and there was a lot of talk over this past week about that Bedard report that he's coaching for his job.
Which were quickly refuted by others yesterday.
They were, yes. We did hear a lot of...
But then also Bedard said, well, there's an 85% chance that he's going to come
back. So. And I think that that's probably right. I don't think there's really any real concern about him losing the job or the Crafts doubling back on this big thing that they've had 5 years in the making and sort of going back on all that. Unless he loses the locker room. Or there's some sort of big scandal or something like that. Like, that's sort of what it takes. You have to suck, and then there has to be a combination of either you suck and you had a big scandal like Urban Meyer, or you lost the locker room.
Like also, Matt Eberflus.
Also like Urban Meyer. Or Eberflus or Josh McDaniels or anybody, any of the other guys who get canned early on.
You take away the players' lounge and they truly revolt.
Right. And then you put the basketball hoop in and the bike and everybody's happy.
And everybody's smoking cigars.
Yeah, right.
Man, yeah, but we're all on the hot seat, you know?
Exactly. So I don't think that that's anything to worry about. I do think that Jerod Mayo, at the very least, does have these guys motivated, even if they're not super talented. He does get them motivated. I don't think he has much in the way of a game plan. And I think something like that could really bear itself in a game like this against a weapon like Kyler Murray. Like, you already saw him struggle with Anthony Richardson. And Murray's 10 times the quarterback that Richardson
is. Yeah, but he's very different too, though, right? Like, Anthony Richardson's that power style runner. He wants to create contact and run you over, where Kyler just wants to extend plays and he wants to maybe scamper around a little bit. But even still, he doesn't run nearly as much as he could or he used to. Mm-hmm. And so he uses that.
Might change today.
Yeah, I guess maybe, but he uses that escapability more so to just build time for his receivers to get open. Guys like Trey McBride could be a massive, massive issue for you. That is such a mismatch against this Patriots defense.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why I'm worried. Is number one, McBride's he has no touchdowns this year, which is weird, but he's killing.
He has a rushing touchdown.
Oh, he does? Okay, fine. He has no receiving touchdowns and like tons and tons of yards. And the Patriots have trouble with tight ends. They've had it all year. Not to mention they have a power runner in James Conner, who I think could just go in there and
he's
and
awesome.
Get you all the yards you need, get into the ends. He's a red zone threat. He's very good. And the Patriots have had a hard time stopping tight ends and power runners all year. So that's why I don't feel good about this.
Yeah, I don't think either of these defenses are going to have a very good day. But I understand the skepticism with the game plan on the defensive side of the ball, because it's at a point to me right now where it's scary. You don't know what to expect. I think about how they're going to, are they going to be playing the zone that they've been playing? Mm. Or are they going to just match up Marvin Harrison Jr. with Christian Gonzalez and have him basically just shadow and like face guard him the entire game? Are they going to try to run their all out blitz against Kyler Murray? They haven't been able to show that they can contain any quarterback pretty much. I can't think of, aside from when they shut down Caleb Williams in that 1 week, is there any quarterback that you remember them actually doing a good job containing?
That second half against Aaron Rodgers, that's about it. Half a football, not a full game.
Yeah. That was, you're right. That was good in the second half.
I guess I just can't unsee the Thursday night football.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers.
24-3. Yeah, I don't blame you.
He looked like he was 26 years old again.
Yeah.
Against you.
No, I totally get that. But the good thing, too,
they did okay against Mason Rudolph, I guess, right?
Did they?
I mean, they beat him. He beat him still, but he didn't have a great game.
Yeah, he was fine.
Maybe he had a great game by Mason Rudolph's standards, I guess.
He beat you.
But like, at least Kyler Murray's kind of been on a cold streak here. I mean, the last 3 weeks, 3 touchdowns to, five picks. He's completing 65% of his passes, but he's not lighting the world up. He's struggling a little bit. So I guess there's maybe an opportunity. Maybe he's just cold. Maybe you're catching them at the right time. I don't know. Like, I think there's a chance here. I think your offense can go toe-to-toe with their offense is the thing, right? Because both these defenses kind of stink. Your offense has Drake May. Their offense is just pretty good. Yeah, they're variable because they can run, and Kyler's decent, but I think there's a chance that the Patriots have in this game, but it's slight.
The Arizona Cardinals got off to a very bad start this year. They started the year 1-3, and then they got hot in the middle of the year. They beat the Niners, they beat the Chargers, they beat the Dolphins, Bears, Jets, etc. Won 5 out of 6. And then after their bye week, they completely fell apart. They've lost two of the last 3 weeks. They lost to Seattle. They had a big lead against Minnesota, and they blew it. They really played themselves right out of the playoff picture.
I thought they were so good after that Jets game. I'm like, man, they're going to win the NFC West. This is awesome. Like, good for the Cardinals. This team looks great. And then since then, they have looked
not
like
so much.
Doo-doo. Yeah.
I'm worried not so much about what their defense is going to do. They don't have a great pass rush. Their defense is really just Buda Baker and a couple of role players. Yep. I mean, that's basically all they have. But offensively, I've not seen anything to make me think that the Patriots defense is ready for a challenge like this.
Definitely.
I don't think so. It'd be nice if Gonzalez sticks with Harrison all day, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
I mean, Marvin Harrison hasn't even had a great year. They've been so good.
He's on pace for good numbers.
I mean, he's going to have a decent year, like especially the touchdown numbers is pretty good.
900 yards. yards and 9 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's solid. But like at this, but not quite to the hype level that everybody had Marvin Harrison coming out of the draft. And so comparatively, you look around. I mean, Michael Wilson could beat you. Greg Dortch could beat you. Trey McBride could kick your ass. And then there's also Marvin Harrison. Like it's just there's so many ways that they can beat you in the passing game. And also, you're not even talking about James Conner with that. It's like there's just so many different ways that they can beat you that it becomes difficult.
Yeah, I guess even beyond that, like I know we're supposed to be feeling good that Christian Barmore is taking more snaps. And like that's one thing that you can build on to the end of the season is getting some of these guys back, getting them healthy. Cole Strange on the other side of the ball, like trying to work them in and see where they fit.
Is he going to start today?
I don't know. I'm really scared of what they're going to do with him.
I really hope they don't put him at center.
Because if they put him at center, I might just throw something at my TV. Because I can't understand that decision. No. Like, maybe again, it's just one of these things where you're just trying to evaluate, essentially, and treat it almost like the preseason. I just don't think that's where this team should be. I don't think that they should have that much comfort. And I'm kind of terrified of the game day approach on both sides of the ball.
I sort of am too, but I also think, I mean, we've been hearing for the entire bye week and beyond, well, you just want to see what you have, right, at the end of the year. Like, let's see what we have with our young players.
But why?
Yeah, but they always say that, and then they're surprised at how painful it is.
And they're also seeing what they have by putting guys at positions they don't play. You're putting Onwenu at tackle. He wants to play guard. You're putting Cole Strange at center. He's a guard. It's infuriating.
Yeah, it is annoying.
Let your guards be guards.
Yeah. Yes, let the guys play the position they play.
And also, I've seen enough. Like, I really, we're 15 weeks into this season. I've seen enough of the offensive line. I know what they are.
It's not much.
I know what these young wide receivers who can't even get on the field after that. Javon Baker can't break into this wide receiver group, and we're supposed to be like, well, let's just see what he has. He must be so bad in practice. Like, abysmal in practice if he can't break into this group.
Are we confident there might be a post-bye week bump for Jalen Polk?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not. Why would anyone be confident?
I don't know. Costos posed the idea on our show on Friday, and I was like, I'm buying in. And
what?
I only heard him yelling at Curtis.
Wait,
I didn't hear him
say
anything
else. Do you have money on this, Shine?
No,
buying in because Costos said it, you're making me nervous.
No, I was just buying into the idea maybe Jalen Polk has a post-bye week bump. A lot of rookie
Does
receivers...
Does he, like, go on an ayahuasca journey during the bye week? What is he finding out about himself?
Well, no, so I think just in general, rookie wide receivers tend to struggle a lot in the first half of seasons. And then in the second half of seasons, generally around the bye week, they understand NFL offenses a little bit more and have a lot more success. Now, I don't know that that'll necessarily translate for Jalen Polk since he just can't catch the football, so that's not really a whole learning thing.
He also doesn't know where he's supposed to be.
But yeah, but like that part he may have learned a little bit more. He might understand
over
a little
10
bit better.
Days?
I don't know. He tape.
I would love for him to figure it out.
Same.
He
really
looks
badly.
Worse as the weeks go on.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not very confident in it, but I'm hoping. I'm hopeful. Like, there's a slight glimmer of hope for me, and as soon as I see him get an illegal procedure penalty or a false start, I'll throw that away. Don't
if
worry.
He has more receptions than penalties today,
that's a great day.
Can you imagine? Just think about that. That's a significant step forward.
Yeah, three catches,
your second
30
round
yards,
draft pick,
no,
wide receiver.
No flags. We're good. We're cooking.
Mike Reese wrote today that Cole Strange has been working at center in practice since he was designated to return from injured reserve on the 20th of November. Now that he has officially been added to the 53-man roster, the next question is when could he see some action? Ben Brown, entrenched as the starter, no signs was changing this week, but good. Strange is soon be integrated into the mix. I think we need to see him at some point play, said Alex Van Pelt. It's like, yeah, okay, Alex, well, you know, you only got four games left, so
it's also not
to see him at some point, then you should probably see it. So there you go. 617-779-7937. We're off and running here on a WEEI Football Sunday. Chris Scheim's going to get you caught up on what's trending. And when we come back, we'll get to Mego's emotional roller coaster. It's Drake May speaking earlier this week, giving guys opportunities. He's got a big opportunity as we get to the final month of the season. What people are calling the last winnable game on the schedule. I don't know if you guys agree with that. You think it's the last winnable game on the schedule?
Well, there's the second Bills game. If they decide to just sit guys, then you could win that one.
I think they could win, even if they don't sit guys. Like, Mac Jones beat the loaded Bills last year, you know? Like, I don't think that that's impossible.
One of the
division
few home
games,
wins we've had the last 2 years.
Yeah, these division games, I don't know what it is, but there's something about Buffalo, and even when it's not, like last year, I know it was still Bill and he was game planning for Josh Allen, but there were plenty of years where Josh Allen just did whatever he wanted, didn't punt for two straight games. And last year, Mac Jones beat him. So I don't know. I think there's a chance they could win one of the Buffalo games. I'm not going to bet the mortgage on it or anything.
But it's slim.
In terms of, like, opponents that you look at and think, okay, How well do they match up? They match up better with Arizona than the Chargers or the Bills, I think.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah, well, this is the weakest defense of the next two teams that you play, by far. I don't even think it's particularly close. So, like, if you're going to have an opportunity to score a lot of points and win that way, this is that opportunity.
I agree. I think this is the best opportunity for your offense.
Megan Ottolini has the emotional roller coaster out, and the question is...
Oh, you want me? You were saying it like you were going to read it.
I'm setting it up for you.
The emotional roller coaster today is, what is Drake May's most immediate need in the offseason? Your options were better offensive line, better receivers, different coordinator, different head coach. And not a huge surprise, better offensive line, kind of a landslide. 64% of over 1,000 respondents say they want Drake May to get a better offensive line. That's the number one priority, followed by better receivers, 26%, different head coach, 9%, different coordinator, just 1%.
What a win for Alex Van Pelt, huh? Well, I mean, maybe that was never the most pressing thing, but still, only 1% of people voted for that. That's a big win for him.
Yeah, but I think he's shown he's the most, maybe the most competent person on the staff.
Might be.
Like, it seems like he might be, and I'm not saying he's good, but he's at least, he understands how to be an NFL offensive coordinator. His play calling may be a little bit bland. He may not be the most creative, but at the same time, like, he clearly seems like the most competent at his job.
Yeah, I'm, like, running through trying to think who else really jumps out.
Like, he's better than Springer. He's better than Covington. He's better than Mayo at their respective jobs. Like, I think he is just, he's the best one at his job so far.
Or the least bad.
The least bad. That's a great way to phrase it. I like that.
Go.
I prefer that.
Well said. None of us picked different coordinator, I'd imagine. None of us are in the 1%. None of us are in the 1%. What did you vote, Mega?
I voted better offensive line. Mm-hmm. That's obviously what I've wanted for this Patriots offense for the last couple seasons. I know that there is a lot of emphasis on receivers all the time. You have done a dismal job trying to draft them, so I get that. And hopefully T. Higgins will be available in the offseason and you can go and spend on him and you can just focus on your offensive line. That's absolutely your need, and specifically tackles.
Yes, okay. I also voted for offensive line. I want tackles. Give me tackles. Give me as many big fat men as you can find. Put them on this roster.
Isolate that.
Yep. Give me as many big fat men as you can find. It's clean for you, and put them on this roster and then throw them out there on the offensive line and get something cooking.
I said better receivers, and not to be contrarian, I didn't know how anybody voted before I voted. I just think that a team like this and a quarterback like Drake May, who can use his feet, who can extend plays, who can make the most out of a shaky offensive line. And listen, I think the offensive line needs to be better too. I don't think that that's something they should leave. Yeah. But if it's one thing or the other, giving this guy a playmaker, giving him someone he can get the ball out early to, just giving him someone that he can feel comfortable with, knowing where he's going to be and knowing that he can get open quickly in his route, would make such a big difference, because there's nobody like that on this roster right now. And I do think there have been games, not many, but there have been some games where the offensive line looked okay, right? Like, there's been a game or two, maybe a half or two is more accurate, but a couple of times where I watched the offensive line and thought, seems like they're coming together a little bit. Then the next game, they don't. But, like, there were times where I thought that. I've never thought that about the wide receivers. Not one quarter, not one half, not one game this season.
Yeah, I just look at the offensive line as such a weapon. I mean, you look across the leagues, I think the best teams in the league right now are able to run the football because their offensive line is so good. The Lions, the Bills are up there. Like, it's just, the Eagles, I mean, look at what Saquon Barkley's doing. It's just, even the Ravens at times have had a good offensive line this year. I just think that the way you win right now in football is a good offensive line and then a quarterback that can do multiple things. And that's kind of what the Patriots, they have the quarterback that can do multiple things. Now you need to add offensive linemen. And it becomes that the classic Jamar Chase versus Penei Sewell meme, where it's like, guy can't block, to throw it deep to Jamar Chase,
right?
Or guy can block, throw it deep to nobody. So it's like, you know, pick your poison, and I don't think there's necessarily a wrong answer. Both are good.
Drake May hasn't been getting killed this year. You know, like, that's what everyone was worried about. Well, you can't put him out there.
He got sacked 4 times last week.
He did, and he's been sacked a good amount, but not more than, you know, not leading the league or anything like that, even in a per game rate.
Sure.
So, like, he's able to get the ball out quickly. He's able to move around. He's able to step up in the pocket. Like, he does all these things that I was worried about. Like, I watched Jacoby Brissett in the first month, and I thought, man,
good
you
move.
Know, Brissett's been killed in this league. Mm-hmm. Like, he's led the league in getting sacked, like, how many times? And he's out there dodging and ducking and getting away from the rush. And is Drake May going to know how to do that? Is he going to have those type of instincts being a 22-year-old rookie coming out of UNC? I didn't think he would. And he has. So, I mean, that's why and I do think the offensive line needs to improve. It does. But if he has no one to throw to, he could be standing back there all day. And if it's Kayshon Booty and Jalen Polk, then who cares?
Well, I also think that Elliot Wolf needs to show that he understands what he's watching with the offensive line, because how confident he sounded and perplexed he sounded going into the season, that people were questioning the decisions that he was making with Chuksa Okorafor being the left tackle.
And Nick Leverett.
And being like, well, I don't understand why everybody's making this big deal out of our offensive line. I think we're pretty set at the offensive line position.
Yeah, because they're all practice squad guys, and two guys you drew.
And Okorafor played 12 snaps.
And left. He doesn't play football anymore, and then you cut Nick Leverett.
Yeah, so I know, like, again, you're really bad at drafting receivers. And
horrible.
You can say that Elliott has to wear that. And that he needs to make up for that, too. But I think the way that he talked about the offensive line, and then the way that Jerod Mayo, after that first week against Cincinnati, talked about the offensive line. Oh, I guess it's not so weak. I guess it's not as bad as everybody says. No, you guys have to prove that you guys have to show that you understand what you're watching, because it's that bad.
It's horrendous. But I think that's the biggest issue, right? That's why I think receiver or offensive line, neither is a bad answer. The issue is I'm not confident that anybody in that building can evaluate either position and accurately put people on this roster to help it be better than it was this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's fair.
I don't know about that. I mean, the offensive line, I feel like they really went bargain basement. At least they used the second round pick on the wide receiver. They just picked the wrong guy.
Yeah.
The offensive line was basically neglected. You know,
and then
they
told us it wasn't. That's the part that I can't get over. Mm. And then when you're talking about, can you trust the group in the coaching, in the front office to get this right, to turn it around? I look back at comments like that and I go, I don't see how you can right now.
Yeah,
they have so much more that they need to show to earn that goodwill faith.
Yeah, it's just like you need to go, and I think that's why it's so imperative that you go sign like proven talent at one of these positions, whether it's, you know, T. Higgins, or I would have loved to see Garrett Bowles. He just re-signed with the Broncos, but like somebody like
that. By the way, those guys, all the free agent tackles are going to re-sign.
Stanley's
going to re-sign. Bowles is going to re-sign. You're not going to get those
when
guys.
When we walked in here today and talking about like, oh, Travis Hunter and what are the Patriots going to do in the draft, I say you have to spend that top draft pick on a tackle to me.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to find it in free agency. You're going to be back in some kind of stupid patchwork operation that doesn't make any sense. And we've seen it for the last couple years.
Yeah.
It's the position that they have to eat their vegetables. They have to take the fat guy in the draft.
I think they have to take the skinny guy in the draft.
All right.
My guy Travis Hunter, who Marcus and Roxbury at 617-779-7937 has a take on. Go ahead, Marcus.
Hey, thank you guys for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to say, Sean, generally, yeah, I agree with you, man. I love your passion, man.
Appreciate you as an older man.
I love your passion. But what I wanted to say to you is one thing that I've noticed about Travis Hunter, that star potential, like those star plays. And when you compare him with Drake May, I think the other day you said that Travis Hunter was I think Drake May has shown so far. I mean, I'm not saying what he's going to be, but I'm saying out of the two right now, Travis Hunter is that star right now. So I just want to say thanks for taking my call. You guys keep up the good work, man.
Marcus, call back anytime. I'll put you right to the front of the line.
Wasn't his speech great? It was great.
That was a tremendous speech. I really thought it was. Thank you, Marcus. That was a good speech last night. That was a very sincere and earnest speech from a guy who I thought was going to go out there and just start throwing up, you know, all his jewelry and everything. You know what I mean? Like, I thought he was going to be Shador.
Travis Hunter seems like a great guy.
He was very, very good.
He is an exceptional athlete.
Yeah.
He is. There's no question in my mind he is an exceptional athlete. However, I think he is very overrated. I think he is driven largely in part due to the Deion hype machine. And if Deion wasn't the head coach of Colorado, he may not have even been a Heisman finalist.
Not even a Heisman finalist. The two-way player who had the second-best receiver in the country and like the fifth-best corner in the country wouldn't have even been a Heisman finalist.
Yeah, the quarterback would have been the finalist.
You think so?
Yes.
What if 100%
of the time. So who made who then? Because everyone says that Shador made Hunter, that Hunter made Shador. Like, it's got to be one or the other here.
I think the quarterback's the better player.
Really?
Yes. I think the quarterback, it is more arguable that the quarterback's probably going to go number one overall in the draft.
That's because quarterback's a more coveted position.
He's better.
By the way, Arcan, I am so glad they're not drafting for a quarterback in this draft.
Thank God. Yes.
I am so glad.
So glad
that either of these teams, that the Patriots or my beloved Commanders,
yeah,
that they both got their quarterbacks last year when you said you didn't like that draft for a quarterback draft.
I didn't really. I mean, I was listening.
You were like,
I don't like
any of these quarterbacks.
I didn't really like them.
I don't want any of them. If you're going to give me one, maybe Bo Nix.
So far, Bo Nix is looking pretty good. So far.
Best offensive line of the bunch, too.
Jaden Daniels, who won the Heisman last year. By the way, that means something these days, winning that Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, now it does. He's been great. Didn't mean anything to you last year.
Well, Daniels was my guy. When you asked me about the quarterbacks, I said Daniels was the guy I liked.
Bo Nix was your guy.
No, you said out of the top three of the ones they could actually draft, okay, I said Daniels is the one I liked the most between him, Williams, and May. And that was, I stood by that. And I feel a little bit vindicated there. But it wasn't even so much that I didn't like Drake May. I didn't really. But like, it wasn't even so much that.
You didn't like Drake May.
It was the idea of dropping him into a situation like this. And we talked about this last week.
But you also said you didn't like any of the quarterbacks, really.
I didn't really like him that much. That's true. And Nix is proving me wrong. Certainly May is proving me wrong, although I still think this is a bad environment for him, and I think it's going to hurt his development. And Caleb Williams, I feel good about. McCarthy, I feel good about. Penix, we haven't seen yet, so who knows?
Put Penix in.
Wait, McCarthy, you feel good about? You haven't...
McCarthy's going to stink.
Wait, you just so? Said
even
you
with
feel
Kevin,
good
O'Con-
about
Kevin O'Connell turned Sam Darnold into a good quarterback.
I think he'll be fine.
Sam Darnold's better than McCarthy.
I think he'll be Kirk Cousins-ish.
McCarthy wasn't even that good in college.
I think that's fair. Yeah, he won a national championship, but you're right. He wasn't
He didn't win the national championship.
No, I agree. He was, but he didn't. He's a kind of quarterback that doesn't make mistakes. He has the tools, and with a really, really good coach like Kevin O'Connell, he'll be good. Like, he won't be a top five quarterback. He may not even be a top 10 quarterback, but he'll never be below like top 18.
He might be Mac Jones without the trauma.
Yeah, basically.
Untraumatized,
like that
Mac
first
Jones.
Year of Mac Jones, just like his entire career.
Yeah, like a little better.
Where maybe. he'll beat all of the bad teams, but really maybe only be competitive against the good teams and never actually win.
I think he's got Josh Rosen written all over him personally. 617-779-7937. Chuck is in Boston. We got a Travis Hunter debate going on right now. Go ahead, Chuck.
Hey guys, how we doing today?
Great.
What's up?
How you doing?
Shime, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah,
Shime. Nah, man, I have.
You sit there, you. No, Shime, let me talk, please.
Yeah,
I've been waiting. I love you, brother.
Yeah.
I listen to you guys every morning.
Go for it, Chuck.
All right, and I know that Curtis and them guys try to beat you up about this Drake May thing. Drake May's okay. He's good. He's going to be good. We're from New England, Shime. We've seen Steve Grogan. We've seen Drew Bledsoe. We've seen Brady. We've seen great quarterbacks. So Drake May is going to be good. How dare you say that a young man that can play over 100 plays a game. Shime, you ever play football?
Yeah.
You know how hard it is to play offense and defense at a high level?
Yeah.
Play offense and defense at a high level. And you just said 5 minutes ago, if he did not play for Coach Prime, he wouldn't be a Heisman candidate?
Yep.
Cam Ward throws the ball.
Yep.
The kid from Boise State runs the ball. This guy has had interceptions to finish games for Colorado, and he has on defense, and he has scored on offense to win games. What is a Heisman Trophy person supposed to do?
Chuck,
if they play both ways?
Chuck, can I ask you a question?
I'm listening.
Yeah. So my question for you is, who did Travis Hunter play this year?
He played the schedule that the school he went to gave to him.
Yeah, he did. You're right.
Alabama,
I agree. Hold on. Chuck, I agree, but they played one ranked team all year. One. All year,
and they lost,
and they were ranked 18th. Whereas, hold on, Chuck, let me finish. Hold on, Chuck, let me finish. I'm gonna let you talk. Just let me finish. So they lost to one ranked team all year. Whereas a guy like Ashton Jaunty is got a bye in the college football playoff, ran for almost 200 yards against the number one ranked team in the nation.
Hold on, does the opponents count or not? Because he's in the Mountain West.
Yeah, he ran for 200 yards against the number one ranked team in the nation, and played Oregon. He played against Oregon and ran for 190 yards.
One game, Shine. You seen Nevada play? You seen Utah State play?
They also played UNLV twice, who's also ranked, and he ran for 200 yards against both them twice.
Like, what level, Shine? If you're okay, Shine, I heard you. So now let's rate conferences.
Okay.
What is the Big 12's conference compared to the Mountain West? Since you want to throw conferences out,
yeah,
opponents.
It's better. I don't disagree.
Considerably better.
Yes, I understand.
Well, then you can't get your points irrelevant, Sean.
No, it's not.
Thanks
because
for the
like and the other thing too is it's like people make it seem like this is the first time we've ever seen something like this happen. It's not. Wiggy and I went back and looked. Champ Bailey, 1998 for Georgia had more percentage of his team's receiving yards than Travis Hunter did while also playing defensive back and having more interceptions. Granted, Kirby Smart led the team in interceptions.
Yeah,
so
Champ
shout out to
Bailey,
Kirby
what
Smart.
An overrated guy he was. Huh? No, yeah, he didn't have a good career.
Didn't win the Heisman is
so
my point.
Who cares? Like, he was a great pro. He was a tremendous player.
Yes, he was. Yeah, Champ Bailey was a
If Travis
freak.
Hunter's Champ Bailey, we're all going to be thrilled.
I'm not saying he is or he isn't. I'm just saying, like, when it came to the Heisman, he was very overrated because everybody said it was something we hadn't seen before. When we had, everybody was comparing him to Charles Woodson when they should have been comparing him to Champ Bailey. Like, that was my big take. And I'm like, Ashton Jonte's doing something we rarely see, like, ever. And it was insanely more impressive to me what he was doing than what Travis Hunter was doing. That's
Charles
all.
Woodson did win the Heisman, though, by the way.
Yeah, I'm aware Charles Woodson did. I'm okay. Saying Champ Bailey didn't.
All right, fine. But it's not like the guy who's played both ways has never done that before. I mean, it's,
no,
you know.
I'm not saying it wasn't.
They look favorably on that type of thing. They look favorably on big-time running backs, too. A lot of times running backs win the Heisman.
Like Derrick Henry
too.
Won a few years ago, and Ashton Jonte had a way better season than Derrick Henry. The difference is Derrick Henry plays in the SEC.
It's true. And he also wasn't going up against the elite two-way player.
And that was my big thing. Like, Champ Bailey did that in the SEC. If Travis Hunter did this in the SEC, I would be like, you know what? You're right. You're 100% right. He is a star in the making.
I think
now
he
you're
did.
Getting,
I think he
now you're getting personal with this man over here.
I think
he could have done this in the SEC.
See, I disagree.
Watching him go out there at Big 12 playing like it was a rec league, basically. I mean, he was unbelievable this year.
He is
Travis
an insane
Hunter was
athlete.
Incredible this
he
year.
Is an incredible athlete.
And that's in the Big 12, which is not some time. It's not the ACC here, you know? I mean, this was that's a legitimate conference. No, it isn't. Been the Big 12? I don't think it is. We can agree to disagree on that. Either way, I think Hunter would have been good in any conference, anywhere in the world. I mean, I just think he's that. I think he's a special player. I think Jante's a special player, too. I think he'll be a good running back. But also, in this day and age, what's more valuable? You know, if you're talking about, maybe not for Heisman voting, but like in terms of draft picks and things like that, you look at Travis
Hunter versus
the running
back. Is pretty valuable right now.
Is it to draft in the first round?
I don't know. Look at all the best teams in football. What do they have? A great running back. Every single one of them. Mm. And some of them have two.
Buffalo has a great running back?
James Cook is a great running back.
Is he great?
Yes, he's having a great year.
He's having a great year. Is he a great running back?
Yes, he's a very good running back.
Okay.
But Shem, going back to the conversation that we had like 5 minutes ago, I don't want to discount running backs
because
I do like the way that it's been developing this season with Saquon and Derrick Henry and even James Conner.
Yeah.
Like that these guys are very productive and showing their worth in the game today. But how much of that is also the offensive lines that they're playing behind?
Oh,
which brings me back to, I don't totally agree. Travis Hunter. I want you to draft a tackle.
I don't
care if he's overrated, underrated, because I don't want him on this team.
I'm with you. I want a tackle, too. I just think people are under. We went through a period of time where Arcand is right. Running backs didn't matter. I think in today's NFL, though, the way the game is being played with all the too high crap, like it is
it
running
helps.
Backs. Running backs are more important
guy,
than they have been in years.
Carolina has a great run. Chuba Hubbard's like sixth in the league in rushing yards, and what the hell does that matter?
That's just because they
like,
just don't want to throw the ball with their crappy QBs for the first half of the
he's
year.
Been good.
He's been good the last
couple
games.
Weeks.
Bryce Young's
been
great the last couple weeks.
You know, I'm looking at the list. Alvin Kamara's up there on the list. What's that doing for New Orleans? Tony Pollard's ninth in the league in rushing. Like, that doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter for Tennessee.
Yeah, but being, I think that's the thing, though. Like, I don't care if you have you stat pad. Like, when I watch you in the games, like Saquon Barkley, I watch him and I know he's really, really good.
Sure.
Derrick Henry is really, really good.
You're talking eye test.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just.
All right, so the two best running backs in the league are great, sure, but like that doesn't mean that you necessarily. Like,
I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery are both great.
I love watching them.
They're
I mean, they're
so
they're
much
tremendous.
Fun.
Yeah,
again,
certainly.
Offensive line.
Again, offensive line. Yes, I totally agree.
All right.
But
you know, then the Jonathan Taylors of the world. There's a lot of good running backs in the league right now. It's not like there aren't, but I just think that you're a good team or you're not a good team. The elite running back is sort of a luxury.
Yeah, but you already have an elite corner, and I don't think Travis Hunter is the best receiver in the draft. I also don't think he's an elite receiver. Therefore, like, you don't need him on this football team.
I think he is an elite receiver. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We can continue with the Travis Hunter debate when we welcome in our good friend Nick Fitzy Stevens, who joins the show right after this. We done shredding here or what?
No, let it breathe. Let's go.
It's WEEI Football Sunday. And Jacob back there making the guitar gently weep. And joining us right now on the hotline is our good friend, Nick Fitzy Stevens. Fitzy, how you doing, buddy?
It's funny that you actually play track two from what I believe is the greatest debut rock album of all time. No disrespect to Boston or Appetite for Destruction, that being Van Halen, because today I think there's going to be an eruption out at State Farm Stadium, RJ.
Wow. All right. Very good. Fitzy in the house joining us here. You are not in Arizona today, so we don't have you live from the tailgate. However, you do have some time to sort of stretch out, enjoy the day, maybe get some work done around the house or in the yard or whatever it is you need to do for a nice late evening, or not a late evening, but evening kickoff. How's that feel, Fitzy? What's your day looking like today?
Oh, it is 100% wrapping presents, raking leaves, cleaning up because my wife has been gone for 3 days, so it looks like a bomb went off. This place looks like an IED of children's clothing and madness went off this weekend. So I'm gonna have a little home gate for the day, make a little food, sit down, get ready to rock and roll for the 4:25 kick for what I think is going to be an extremely entertaining game, and I'm so glad that I have multiple televisions and streaming portals, because while obviously priority one for the Foxborough faithful is seeing how the Patriots do to kick off this urgent four-game stretch to finish Drake May's rookie season. But there's got to be just a little part of you that's also like, man, I got to watch Buffalo at Detroit. This has a chance to be the new game of the year.
Fitzy, I think a lot of us are going into this game looking at these defenses and hoping that we're going to get something close to a shootout in terms of an offense plan from an offensive game plan from New England. Do you feel confident that they're going to open it up, let Drake air it out, as Arcan started off the show by saying?
That's our want and wish. It's right atop my Christmas wish list, Mego, is for the Patriots to air it out, grip it and rip it, be aggressive, play with the urgency. You read about it on WEEI.com from you, from me today in the Sunday 7, the Boston Globe, the Herald. Everyone is opining for the Patriots. My favorite headline of the week was Chad Finn's preview of Patriots at Cardinals. It was, it's time for the Patriots to be aggressive and lose with dignity. That's exact. Like, go nobly into this good fight. Like, don't go gently into the good night. I want the Patriots to find out exactly how far they can stretch Drake May in a game. If he has to do a Bledsovian 70 pass attempts in the game, maybe Jalen Polk finally wakes up and proves he's part of the solution, not the problem. Listen, you gotta hope, want, and wish for some
dream
of these
big
things. Hey, listen, I also just for whatever it's worth, I don't want to give away the lead before the end of the hit here, but tight end Jack Westover has been activated today. So big, big Jack Westover day out in Glendale, baby.
Jack,
you could have told me he was just hired by WEEI, and I would have believed
he's
you.
Been, he kind of looks like he would be working at NBC Sports Boston, to be honest.
Oh, there you
Sounds
go.
Like an assistant
Handsome
district
guy.
Attorney in a Batman book.
He's got a bit of a Phil Perry thing going on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, the senator was like grown in a laboratory. Phil Perry makes
this
no
is what
sense
I mean.
Me.
They're both like very clean cut, square jawed. Sorry, not trying to make Phil feel weird.
No, I
like,
get you.
You know, it's just
Phil makes everyone feel weird because he's so damn nice, handsome, and smart.
Look at that, Fitzy. How do you feel about the Patriots matchup today against this Arizona team? They're so variable in how they can attack you with a physical runner like James Conner, the elusiveness of Kyler Murray, and then Marvin Harrison Jr., Trey McBride, who's awesome, and then you throw in Greg Dortch and Michael Wilson. How do you think this defense is going to fare today?
Michael Wilson would be like WR1 on the New England Patriots.
Yes, he would.
It's not that we're getting into saying a lot about the Patriots or saying a lot about Michael Wilson's season. It's what we're saying about the Patriots. Trey McBride, perennially underrated. One of those guys, no matter how many things you say about him, he's still not getting enough love. And Marvin Harrison Jr. with 7 touchdowns, but it feels like a mildly underwhelming rookie season. They can attack you and stress you at all three levels, and between the two sides of the ball, obviously the Patriots defense is having more trouble. So I expect the Cardinals to get theirs and get in the 20s. But the Cardinals defense is ranked 19th and 19th respectively, yet somehow that earns them 20th overall defense in the NFL in rushing and running defense. So you can get yours against them. Absolutely no doubt about it whatsoever. Guys like James Conner and Kyler Murray today, I would expect them. I love the over prop on Kyler Murray rushing yards today. I absolutely love James Conner with an anytime touchdown as well. But I really, really, really think that this game has an over, both teams in the 20s. Covering, a win would be incredible. Covering and losing with dignity, that would be great as well for the Patriots, Sean. But here's the problem. Last time we felt this way about a team that had a defense that the Patriots could be opportunistic against, that they should be aggressive against, and just let it all hang out against, that was the Jaguars game, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And they score early, and then they just go get so tepid
and they just got slapped around on defense. Like, where were you when Tank Bigsby ran it down your face 17 times in a row? Like, what a low light of the 2024 season. So I'm not going to put the bank, the farm, and the family on it, but at the same time, I think that's what we all want to see today, Sean.
All right, Fitzy, you and I worked together on Thursday. That was the day of the...
had a damn good show, by
that
way.
Was a good show, I thought. And everybody on Twitch chat noticed I was much happier than I usually am that day. So it could be a coincidence, probably not. But we were there. We were talking about Bill Belichick. The Belichick press conference, obviously, was a big one. You've been down there since then. Obviously, you're a guy on the inside when it comes to the rumblings going on at Foxborough. How's that landing over there? How are they taking all that news?
M-U-M, exactly what you call your mother in England, mum. They're not saying squatola down there. I mean, I forget who it was yesterday who I saw pop up immediately on my timeline, if it wasn't just people freaking out about drones in New Jersey. It was somebody just, maybe it might have been Boris Sports or something, who said, like, has the Patriots social media team been told that Bill Belichick took a head coaching job?
Yeah, no congratulations to me, nothing like that, right? Yeah,
that's weird to me, because like when Brady won the Super Bowl, God, that still feels so gross to say, in another team's uniform, that night the Patriots put up a beautiful Instagram and Twitter post congratulating Tom Brady on being the GOAT.
Simps.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right? So yeah, so gross. Where is the whole best of luck, Bill? You know, show them how it's done down there. We'll be fans too, or something like that. You know, hurrah for Chapel Bill. I'm honestly shocked. I really am. I thought by now there would have been some sort of gratitude or well-wishing post. And I don't know, Arcand, if there was some sort of like team-wide, organization-wide edict to like not discuss it or talk about it. Mm-hmm. Like, if things are really that odd. So I'll look forward to after the game today with a, trying, now that we'll get back to some normalcy coming off the bye week, trying to see if I could send a few emails or texts and get an idea as to whether or not like they're even allowed to mention it, because it's super, super, super weird. Like someone shows up with a new wife at Thanksgiving and no one's going to say congratulations. We're all just going to sit down awkwardly and make our way through cocktails and dinner without even offering a word.
You were at my husband's house?
Or just all the times I go over to my in-laws' house.
Yeah, something like that. Speaking of awkwardness, Bill reaching out to the Jets?
Mm-mm.
What do you mean?
0.0% chance.
What are you talking about? It was reported by two different people.
Three
different people.
Wait, you don't believe this, Fitzy?
I don't. You know, if anything, if Belichick reaching out to the Jets, I do not
After
believe
negging
in any way,
them all year.
No way.
So crazy.
Pretty good.
So good.
Oh, no. I didn't
what a
like
desperate
it.
Move.
It really bummed me out, actually.
Oh,
I don't like the story.
I wonder if, see, I would believe that Belichick reached out to the Jets in some sort of just like, kind of like left, like just an interest play, like let's see if the team that I have literally ragged on for 30 years, that I have treated like a Fenway toilet, let's see if these guys are interested, or if there's any sort of avail right there. And that, I think, if anything, could have been just like a little ping that Team Belichick or the FOBs, the Friends of Belichick, would have sent out, just to sort of get an idea. Because if the Jets, in their desperation, after Robert of Salah and the Ulbrich couldn't find a way into like trying to embrace the greatest coach in NFL history, at least the last 50 years, then that should tell him exactly where his stock was sitting in the professional ranks. But I don't believe in any way, shape, or form he would have taken that job, even no matter how badly he wants to cram it down the throats of the Patriots because of the way that they elegantly parted ways from last year.
Or how bad he wants to get back into the NFL. Either way, that is the voice of Nick Fitzy Stevens joining us here on WEEI Football Sunday. You can hear him on the Six Rings postgame show later on tonight. You got a long day ahead of you, Fitzy. So rest up, get hydrated, and we'll talk to you later, okay?
I'm looking forward to it, my guy. Thank you so much. Postgame show live here on EEI right after with Andy Hart and Scheim. Here's the answer to what you guys were talking about and arguing about with Chuck on the radio.
Yes, yes.
The answer is Travis Hunter, Ashton Janty, any of them. They're all welcome on the New England Patriots because but I'm going to go with Travis Hunter over Janty. As much as you know, I think that Maurice Jones-Drew times Josh Jacobs equals Ashton Janty, Scheim. I got to go with Travis Hunter because he may actually represent two blue chip players on the Patriots as opposed to the price of one. And they're that desperate because the only guy getting Pro Bowl votes for the Patriots is Bryce Baringer. There is no God. Good night, everybody.
All right. See you later, Fitzy.
Bye,
that's Nick Fitzy Stevens. Once again, you can hear him on the Six Rings postgame show after the game tonight on WEEI. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Tommy Kern here on WEEI Football Sunday.